Good morning. He then said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance, and don't start saying to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What then should we do?" the crowds were asking him. He replied to them, "The one who has two shirts must share with someone who has none, and the one who has food must do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He told them, "Don't collect any more than what you have been authorized." Some soldiers also questioned him, "What should we do?" He said to them, "Don't take money from anyone by force or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were waiting expectantly, and all of them were questioning in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I am is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with fire that never goes out." Then, along with many other exhortations, he proclaimed good news to the people.
I forgot. Okay. Hi. I'm very excited to be back with you guys. I told my best friend yesterday, when she told me that I was not allowed to preach in sandals, even if I was wearing a sweater. And so, because, you know, for like ventilation, like to balance it out. And she told me, no, I had to be a grown woman and wear grown-up shoes. But I told her yesterday that if I could pick up Snow Hill Baptist Church and move it about 15 miles southeast of here, that would be super convenient for me because this is where I want to go to church. But it's a little impractical for my real life. But I'm very excited to be here with you guys. So when Todd messaged me and asked me if I'd be willing to come talk to you, and he kind of laid out what you guys were doing for Advent, I believe my words, Todd, were, "That is my jam." Already not yet is my jam. I messaged my old assistant from New Mexico and just screenshot her the email, and she said, "Well, I don't know. Do you think you'll be able to talk about already not yet? Because it's literally the only thing that ever comes out of my mouth." So I'm very excited. I got even more excited when I listened to Brad preach about lament, because lament is also my jam. And I know what you're thinking. She is fun at parties. Well, you're wrong. I don't go to parties. I stay at my house by myself. So, but I'm serious. Like, I love lament. I really grew to love lament, and this is why. I grew to love lament out of suffering. I have a couple of chronic illnesses. Sometimes I have debilitating, can't stand up pain. And so a teacher in college just sort of sat with me one day in his office and talked to me about lament. And I just, like, Lamentations became my second favorite book of the Bible behind Leviticus, like I said, fun at parties. And so, but I grew to love lament and really think that it's beautiful and that it's such a gift to us. And so I got very excited. And then Pastor Todd talked about judgment, and I got more excited because I also love that. And so, so we're today going to kind of build on what they've talked about the last couple of weeks as we talk about what do we do with what's right now, right? So why is lament important? What does it do for us? It declares to us that things are not right and good, and we know that because God is right and good, right? So because we know the truth of God, then we know what is right and good, and so we can look at what is right now, right? Like, as we're living through a generational global pandemic, as we're living through disaster and personal struggle and all these things, we can look at it and we can say, I know that that is not right and good because I know what right and good is, right? Because we know, and so we declare that injustice and brokenness and suffering and storms that destroy towns are not right and good because of the goodness and rightness of God. And so lament is a prophecy of standing in between God. Prophecy isn't about predicting the future. It's standing in between God and the people and saying, this is what God says and who he is and what he does, right? And so lament is a prophetic word to our world and to ourselves that things are not as they should be, but there is one who is always good who makes things good. And that's what judgment is, right? It's the making of things being good. And so judgment is God agreeing with us that things are not right and good, but then making them so. And so lament and judgment are wedded together, and they are what hope is, right? Hope is not like, oh, I hope things get better. In the Greek, and it's the same in Spanish, which sometimes when I'm trying to read in Greek, which I'm not great at, I go read in Spanish because I'm better at and they're close. And I remember the day that I learned in Spanish that hoping in Spanish is literally the same word as waiting. And so it's a waiting with an expectation of something that you already know to be true. Right? And so hope is the joining together of lament and God's justice, that things are not as they should be, but there is a God who is always good and always righteous, and he is making things as they should be. And so for us right now, what is now? It is a hot mess, right? But also, that's always true. It's always a hot mess. I was a little bit of an urban legend at OBU because I stood in a chair and yelled at a guy in a church history class once. I meant to yell. I did not mean to stand in my chair. It just happened. But I get very worked up about history because history tells us that we don't have to be a prisoner of our moment. Right? And so that doesn't make the present suffering and the present darkness and the present brokenness not bad. In fact, it makes it worse, right? When we look at the totality of human history, it is a story of suffering and of brokenness, injustice and war and disease and destruction. And so that doesn't lessen our suffering. It frames it, right? It gives it depth. Like it is that big of a deal. And it's not just a big deal for me, it's a big deal for the whole of humanity. And so the depth of our brokenness, when we look at it through the lens of history, is strengthened, right? And so we're not alone, but also, yes, it is that bad, and it's okay to say it when it is. And so what is right now is what is always. It's this pattern of things not being as they should be. And so what do we do with that? So if you remember from last time, I like context. We're going to be in Isaiah. And the reason for that is that I looked at the wrong lectionary, but it's just what we're going to do anyway. So we're going to be in Isaiah, and we're going to look at this pattern in Isaiah leading up to the scripture that we read earlier, okay? In Isaiah chapter 12. And so what we're going to see in this pattern of Isaiah is this juxtaposition of sin and suffering, judgment, and promise. Back and forth. So we start out with Jerusalem's sin, Judah's sin, and then in chapter 2 we have the day of the Lord and the coming city of peace, right? Which is the vision of Jerusalem as it should be. And so we have the sin of things are not what they should be, and then we have the vision in Isaiah chapter 2 of Jerusalem as it should be, the day of peace, the coming day of the Lord that's promised. And then we have Judah and Jerusalem sins again. And then in chapter 4, we have this vision of Zion's future glory, right? And the vision of the branch that's the covenant. And then we have the vineyard song, which is like, actually, the branch is not doing so well, right? Like, there's rot, like, things are dying, it's bad. And I'm going to take an axe and just chop it up. And Judah's sin and the brokenness of the covenant. And then we have this interruption where Isaiah is called. And he goes to the king, and his message to the king is the Emmanuel prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7. And so he goes to the one who sits on David's throne and says, here is the real vision of David's throne, the real vision of this branch that is supposed to grow and bear fruit. And then we go to Assyria. And Assyria is going to be both the tool of God's judgment and it's going to be the recipient of God's judgment because it's an imperfect tool, right? And so we have Assyria with its Judah's judgment, and it's imperfect, but then there is a prince of peace who's coming, and the Lord will no longer need to be the Lord of armies because the prince of peace will establish rule, and it will be on his shoulders, not on the armies of men, to establish justice. And then we go back to Assyria, and they get judged. And then you have the root of Jesse, which is that stump that got chopped up in the vineyard song, reflowering and growing to fruition in a way that it never withers away and never gets thrown into the fire. And that's Isaiah chapter 11. And so you have this back and forth of Isaiah in judgment, justice, promise. Judgment, justice, brokenness, vision of what it should be, right? We're going to come back to chapter 12. We're actually going to see the same pattern a little bit with John the Baptist. I like to say that John the Baptist is my favorite Christmas version of the Christmas story, and people tell me that's not a thing, and I say, I'm sorry, I have a theology degree. So I love John the Baptist. I think probably because he goes out and lives by himself for years, and that's like my dream come true. So look at this pattern. Pastor Todd preached about it last week where he quotes Isaiah chapter 40, right? He's the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And then he comes in real hot in verse 7. You're a bunch of snakes. Y'all are all terrible. Right? But what we see with him is he declares the judgment of God in verses 7 through 9, right? And he repeats that imagery of the axe at the root that's going to chop down the unfruitful tree. And then the people ask this really great question. What do we do? If this is what now is, what do we do now? I'm going to tell you, and it's going to alliterate because I got my degree at a Baptist school. I kind of think in outline. I don't mean to, it just happens. When I was a kid, Pastor Todd and my dad are old friends, they go way back. When I was a kid, my dad would grade my sermon notes. And eventually, my goal was, because, you know, it was the 90s, so it was like the four blanks and you fill in the blank and they all start with the same letter. And I still have some of them memorized because they alliterate and it sticks in your head. So eventually our goal was for my notes to match his notes because then I would be good at college, which was true. Not useful in real life. But it kind of trained my brain to think in an outline. And so I do it in real life all the time without meaning to. Like, I'll just be talking to my friend or to one of my kids, and I'll hear myself, like, spouting out, like, an outline of, like, alliterated things that they need to remember. I can't help it. Okay, so four things. If you're taking notes, now's the time. It's going to be easy because they're all going to start with the same letter. The first thing we do is we prepare. And that's verses 4 through 9, right? We lament, which means we tell the whole truth. Fleming Rutledge says in her book about Advent that Advent is fearlessly making a full inventory of the darkness. And so the way that we prepare for the coming of Jesus is we tell the whole truth. A few weeks ago, a friend on Twitter asked me if I would make an Advent playlist. And then everyone was real impressed because it had like 900 songs on it, and they thought it was a whole bunch of work. And I was like, listen, y'all, I just took my lament playlist that I already listen to all the time and added some Advent-y songs to it. Because I said, lament is my jam. I love sad songs that tell the truth about us because they tell it to our heart and our mind in a way that other things can't. And so we sing sad songs, which are most of the songs in the Bible, to prepare our hearts, to tell our hearts the truth of our need for the one who is coming. And then to tell the truth to the world around us, not to give them some false positive message of everything will be fine, but to say, yes, this is bad. And sometimes to just stop there and sit in it, to wait. I've gotten excited. My voice is getting scratchy. To wait and to prepare. And so what we do with the right now is we prepare. We tell the whole truth to ourselves and to those around us. And we trust that there is a God who is coming, who is going to make light all the dark things. The second thing we do is we participate in that setting things right. Look at verses 11 through 14. He replied to them, "The one who has two shirts may share with someone, and the one who has extra food should do the same." The tax collectors came to him and said, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said, basically, like, stop ripping people off, right? And if you look at these couple of verses, it's pointing a picture to the teaching and the ministry of Jesus, right? Like, that's like pre-Sermon on the Mount, pre-Zacchaeus. And so John is telling us what we do as we're preparing for the coming of the kingdom of God and the establishing of the Prince of Peace on the throne where all things will be made right, then what we do is we participate in setting things right for the kingdom that is coming. And so we do justice. And we enter into the suffering of others just like Jesus did for us and proclaim to them the good news through our words and through our work, that there is a king who is coming who makes all things new. And so we participate in the goodness and the justice of God in the right now, in the not yet. So in the already we prepare, and in the not yet we participate in the work of God to set all things right. And then third, we point to Jesus. People are always coming to John saying, "Hey, are you the Messiah?" And he's always saying, "No, there's another one coming." And here's the thing. Here's why people are always asking him. Because he's doing those first two things. And so they know that there's something different about him. And so that preparation, that telling the unvarnished truth, and that participating in setting up the just kingdom of God gives us the opportunity to set up a signpost to Jesus. And so we point to Jesus as we prepare and as we participate in his work of making all things new in the not yet. We join in with the goodness and the righteousness of God as we point to the goodness and the righteousness and the victory of Jesus that has already been inaugurated but is still not yet coming. And so we give people the good news for now. And we give people the good news for always. And then the third thing we do is we praise. I was very excited this morning because we sang No Not One, and it's like my favorite car song. And this is the first time I've been able to sing it congregationally and close my eyes and not have a car wreck. One of the things that we do in the right now is that we praise God. And here's why we praise God. You're going to get three more P's. Are you ready? Because we have proof that God is good and righteous. We have the proof of the past, right? If you look in the prophets and in the Psalms and in Lamentations and all those places, they're always telling the people, remember what God has done for you. And so we have proof that God is good and just because of the goodness and the justice he has already worked on our behalf. That he has been working since the very first man and the very first woman, and that he continues to work throughout the narrative of human history, that eventually his working no longer involves imperfect tools. But we have that second P that we're about to have of the indwelling presence of God. That becomes not just the proof for us, but the presence, the Emmanuel, the God that is with us. And then he gives us Emmanuel inside of us when he leaves us his spirit, right? And so we praise God because we have the proof of the past, of his goodness and his ableness to make things right. And we have the presence for now of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus who has come. And then third, we have the promise of the King who has come and has won and is coming again in victory. And so because we have this proof of the past and this presence for right now and this promise of already not yet being made into always, then what do we do with right now? We praise God for who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do to completion. And so in those days where all we have is lament, lament is praising God for his goodness. In those days when we are out doing the work of God in our community, then that is praising God for his goodness. And when we declare the coming of Jesus, not just in this Advent season of a baby who was born, who became flesh for us, entered into our lament for us, bore it in his body, and then conquered it in a way that we cannot. And now sits on his throne in waiting for the coming day that he will establish the true vision of Jerusalem, where all people dwell together in perfect peace. And so as we prepare for the coming of Jesus in these months, the best way for us to celebrate the season of Advent is to tell the truth about the darkness. And it's dark at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So we tell the truth about the darkness. We participate in bringing the light to people who dwell in darkness. We point them as the prophets did and as John did, except we don't have to point them to something that we don't know yet. We get to point them to something that we have a proof and an indwelling presence of. And we hold fast to the promise that the King who has come will come again in power, and that all sad things will be made untrue. All dark places will be made light. And everything will be good and just because that is who he is.